بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we began the discussion on the beautiful name of Allah تبارك وتعالى, الشهيد, the witness. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is all informed, all aware. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness of every single action, condition, what's happening in the world, in the universe, below the skies, above the skies, تحت الثرى وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. Whether it be on the earth, below the earth, everything is knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What's happening within our bodies also, that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware. The different meanings ulama have given in regards to shaheed. Shaheed can mean shahid, ismul fa'il, the doer of the action. The meaning of shaheed is similar to al-alim, except that it is more specific. Al-alim, the one that has all knowledge, the most knowledgeable. But this is more specific than al-alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of hidden and apparent things. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada. What's beyond our sight that we cannot see, that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely aware. What's within ourselves also. We don't even know what's happening within ourselves. How many times we find some pain here, some pain there. We go to the specialist, we go to the doctor. It's our body, but we don't know where it's coming from. And also the doctor is trying to find out, there's a pain in the back, whether it's coming from the heart, or pain in the knee, where is it emanating from? Then they have to put the camera and the scope, and they have to check. So before they can check and also come to know what's happening within that, Allah Ta'ala already knows. عَلِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ What's apparent, what's unseen, Allah already knows. So we go for the first opinion, second opinion, third opinion. Finally, Allah Ta'ala, final decision is by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So yes, we make tadbir, we plan, that is sunnah also. But the final outcome, decision is by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So therefore, after all this planning, we say, تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ We place our trust upon that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, who will never die, is always alive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all informed completely. Ghayb, the unseen, means those things which are hidden. And shahada means those things which are apparent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely informed all aware of what is hidden, what is apparent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of everything, whether apparent or hidden. If only knowledge is taken into consideration, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim. If knowledge in relation to hidden things is considered, Allah knows what is hidden, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khabir, is informed of what is hidden. If knowledge is in relation to apparent things, Allah is the knower of what is shahada, what is apparent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely aware of everything. He's such a sovereign whose kingdom encompasses every atom of the heavens and the earth, and who is aware of the minutest condition of every atom, of every single object. We are discussing this, my dear brothers. Now sitting here also, we should ponder that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now also is with me and completely aware of the condition of my heart. What I have in my heart right now, what is the talab, what is the desire, what is the pursuit? Allah is completely aware. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the heart. What is the condition of the heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes decisions and faisla for a person according to what is within the heart. So what is within me right now also? That is why Hazrat says, we come to the majlis to get the heart right. If the heart is correct, the entire body will become correct. If the heart is fasid and spoilt and corrupt, then the entire body will become corrupt. So we come right now to make this heart tick, to put it straight. And the only one that can do it is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first opinion and the final opinion. So I present my heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows my apparent. Allah knows what is hidden within me. What I really want, what is the condition of my heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the oppression being meted out to the oppressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist the oppressed. And is also aware of the oppression of the oppressor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him, either in this world or in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah Ta'ala said it is final. Today, Somebody will give you some faisla, some decision or some opinion, and you say, I trust him completely. I trust him completely, I read the reviews, heard about him, I trust him. What he says, I don't have to hear anything else. But we hear Quran Sharif over and over again, then to have a doubt, really, Allah knows what I'm doing right now. Is Allah a complete witness upon my actions right now? I still have a doubt. But I see the camera, I got yaqeen. I got yaqeen, the camera is recording. Somebody is behind the screen. Somebody is looking at me. But more than that, we should have this iman yaqeen, Allah is even more looking at me than the camera also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely aware of my condition every single moment. Where my camera is moving, Allah's camera is upon my camera. To have this kafiyat, this condition, to be completely aware of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala every single moment. But this consciousness has to come. And this is a daily reminder. The consciousness, at one time, we didn't worry also. Many brothers say before, we never worried whether we dress correctly, pants below their ankles, never bothered us. Whether we read salah, we didn't read salah, how our clothing was, didn't bother us, where we ate, where we went, where we took the family. Now little consciousness has come in. So the nafs also goes to different stages. The first nafs, nafsa ammaratum bisu, the nafs that commands. Ammara means that nafs that bangs the heart. It commands over and over again to do evil. It doesn't worry about the consequences. Just do it. No rules. Obey, whether your thirst, whether your passions, whether your lust. Whatever I want to say, I say with the vulgar language. Whether it be something immodest, I'll do it. So the nafs bangs. Ammaratum bisu. A person comes to the majlis, he goes in the path of Allah, little consciousness comes in him, becomes aware. Then he works on the nafs on the heart. Before he never bothered, whether in the office, whether in the office space, whether at his job, standing right next to the cashier, working with females, doesn't bother really. Whether touching their hand, taking something from them, serving them also, doesn't bother really. And all this is explicitly haram, impermissible. There's no awareness of akhirat. But Allah is looking, Allah is shaheed. Allah knows what's happening right now. You're not even bothered about it. You're not even worried. It doesn't tickle your iman or your heart also. But slowly the consciousness comes. And as the consciousness comes, and it does become more difficult. And temptations also increase, multifold. But as he continues walking the path to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then the nafs becomes lawama. Before it was ammaratun bisu. Whether he must fajr namaz, asr namaz, I read it later. Doesn't really bother him. I read it later. Whether he miss qaza or no qaza, doesn't feel the pain. Now slowly some taqwa, consciousness comes into him. It's conscious Allah is shaheed. Allah is aware of me right now. And I don't want to lose that connection with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now what happens? Fajr salah, he misses, he feels terrible. The whole day comes out in the, Ya Allah, how I miss my fajr namaz? How I miss my zikr for today? My Quran tilawat? How I looked at something haram? How did that happen? Now the consciousness is there. Before he will go to the toll road also, toll gate, he will pay. And when he's giving the cash or the card, then doesn't bother also whether he's touching the hand of that cashier or teller. Haram for him to touch her hand or for her, touch his hand also. Doesn't bother about it. Took it to be something light. But in the court of Allah, it's serious. You can't touch her. Whether without passion or passion, both equally haram. Like one, mashallah, one of our brothers was so particular about this, when he goes to the toll gate to pay also, he will take out his topi. He will give his card or the cash to take the change, he will take out his topi, put it in the topi. It doesn't touch the hand. See, whether the topi is dirty, then my iman getting dirty. So when the person has a desire, then he'll look after himself. Then he'll take care of his iman. Allah, I can't slip up. Because that one touch, we don't realize the effect of it. It leads to something else. Allah is aware with the harikil a'da. Allah knows how the limbs are moving. Allah Ta'ala knows the senses right now and the perceptions, how they're getting affected. Everything is affected. One of the reasons why we don't feel it, ulama explain, is because the heart has become so dark. So when haram takes place also, doesn't affect the heart because there is no nur. There's just zulumatul upon zulumat, darkness upon darkness. When a person has some nur in him, and just a small thing happens, already the fear is a khashyat. He becomes fearful. Today I ask myself also in salah, who has that fear in namaz anymore? The khashyat is no more there, I just read my namaz. There's no fear right now in namaz also. Ya Allah, I'm standing before Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb of the entire universe right now. How he causes the eclipse, move the heavenly bodies, how he wants to. If Allah Ta'ala wants, he can just release it, destroy the entire earth if he wants to. But there's no fear in me. I do salah how I want to. That khashyat, that fear, at least we make it a little bit. Ya Allah, I'm standing before you right now. And then, when's the last time in my namaz also? When's the last time in my salah that I increase my tasbihat a little bit extra also? We're just carrying on, alhamdulillah. I got my namaz now, alhamdulillah. I got it there finally. I reached the first saf, takbir ula. Now increase it. 5 tasbihat, 7 tasbihat, subhana rabbiyal azim, 5 times, 7 times, subhana rabbiyal a'la. So we have to progress all the time. Now, if you think like I'm here, finally, but Allah is looking, when are you going to increase now? So nafsul lawwama, so to become particular of all these things, we don't know how it's affecting the iman, as Hakim Sahib Rahimullah would say, that we didn't realize that this wound was so deep, just touching the hand, or just standing next to her. The wound was so deep that sometimes that wound blocks the kalima at the time of mot also. Blocks the kalima at the time of mot. What happened? Didn't make tawbah from it. Didn't regard it to be a major sin. Didn't regard it to be a major sin. Because nobody's talking about it. Nobody's saying anything. We're working with female staff, whether in our offices, whether in our practices, whether in our businesses. Female staff are there, so it's nothing serious. Just interacting with them, and I really don't feel anything. As I say, don't feel anything, then you better get yourself checked up. Then. Something is wrong with you. If you butter near a fire, it must melt. So maybe you margarine, then you're not butter then. Plastic. Taqwa to is plastic. It's made in China, breaks any time. No warranty, no guarantee. It'll be a lifetime warranty. So nafsa amaratum bisu, so the nafs is now commanding with the evil. And I don't feel any pain. But when some nur of iman will come in the heart, consciousness of Allah, I become aware right now. I am mustid, why is it slipped up? I'm aware of the sins also that now is going into my heart, the poison. Now I'm making tawbah, I'm feeling terrible the whole day. Then as the person progresses from nafsa lawama, then nafsa mutma'inna. Ya ayyuha an-nafsul mutma'inna. That the nafs becomes mutma'in. At peace with the command of Allah, the condition that Allah Ta'ala puts me through, absolutely itminan. Doesn't mean now when I reach that stage, that now I'm free of sin. Definitely not. Many brothers feel now once I become a buzruk, a wali of Allah, now there's no temptation. Now to become pious will become easy. Hazrat says, no ways. As the soul and the heart becomes more pure, temptations become even stronger. Now the perceptions become even more sensitive. The desires also increase. The invitation is stronger. Some brothers say, I'm trying to get a little more pious, but now they're coming closer to me. Now there's more temptation. What is up? I thought it will become, now they'll go away. I won't even be inclined towards them. Now it looks more easier to get involved in haram. As I'm getting more pious, dunya is a place of filth and dirt. That's what dunya is about. It's always inviting. It's always inviting. That's why we have to continue inviting towards Allah. مَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُوا يُدْعَى. The person who doesn't give the da'wah, doesn't invite to Allah, he will be invited. Dunya will take him away. So the person, مُطْمَئِنَّ, Adhra says the lafs become مُطْمَئِنَّ, is absolutely at peace, tranquility with the condition Allah puts me in. What we call حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, Allah will bless him with a life of bliss, a blissful life, pleasant life. When عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. When عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, the person who does a good deed, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, be the male or a female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and they have iman. Good a'mal are there, they do good deeds with iman in their heart, Allah says, I give them a pleasant life. A pleasant life, and akhirat will give them the full reward. Mufassirin explain, what is a pleasant life? Even in tafsir also, they have this heading, what is a pleasant life? This we have to ask ulama ikram. Our pleasant life, what is it we see on Instagram? That is life. Look at that. This is now what you have to live it up. We don't see what is real life. That's fake life. There's that real life, that is fake life. And we see how fake it is also. We hear the brother speaking, you know what, I don't want to lie to you, but, and he's still lying. I don't make his ghibat, but I still make his ghibat. It's a fake life. So we say, I don't want to do it, but I'm still doing it. I'm not jealous about them, but you know, they're still like that. What? There's jealousy. You still don't talk about them because the heart is burning. It's a fake life. What's a real life? What is a life of a pleasant life? That only the creator of this heart can tell you what's a pleasant life. Imagine now we're taking the cue from insan. Insan is trying to influence you. What is a pleasant life? And Allah Ta'ala, the creator, is trying to influence you that I'm all aware. But I don't believe you, Allah, I believe him. That is the life to lead. That is it. We went there, we did it, we came back, and like we did nothing now. What is a pleasant life? For first reading, Ajib, they explained in this ayat. Hayatan tayyiba, a pure, clean, beautiful life. And the strange thing you will find, my dear brothers, that when a couple is on the disobedience of Allah, the same page, they get along very well. You see, most of the time, the kuffar have a good life, hardly any fighting also. And the person with taqwa, iman, is only fighting the house. He's trying to be more pious, she's trying to be his sheikh, and he's trying to be her sheikh, he wants to make her Islam, she wants to make his Islam. And finally he hears the final line, now I'm going to tell Mufti Sahab about you. Then you see, now, he says, oh, now just take it easy. But say, yeah, Bismillah, why not? So what is a pure and good life? Hayatun tayyiba. So first he didn't say two things, qana'at, contentment, and yaqeen upon akhirat. Contentment and yaqeen upon akhirat. The man is content. Whatever Allah has given him is absolutely content. The heart will want more. But he's saying to Allah, Ya Allah, I'm happy. Ya Allah, I'm happy. You see it on his face also. See it in his tabiat also. Ya Allah, I'm happy. Whatever condition you put me in, Ya Allah, you're my creator, I'm the makhluk in creation. I am happy. There will be difficulty. Under this ayat also, they say that person has iman and amal saliha, then too he will go through poverty. He will go through sickness also. But you see, such a buzruk, pious person. So we have this misconception, the person is a buzruk, must have a good life, mustn't get sick, mustn't suffer poverty, have a good life. Why? No such thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was the most pious. Then too, jadu on him, then to illness, then to fever, then to poverty. So in our terms, if somebody is going through all of that, in our mind, he didn't make it in life. Say, bichara. Life came out like that. But if he had qana'at and contentment, you can imagine his jannat. He might not have it here. So this place, dunya, is a place of toil, place of chaos and difficulty. So all this insan will go through, not everything will go how he wants it to go. How the housewife wants it to happen, it won't happen like that. How the husband wants it to happen, it won't happen like that. But he's contented. He's contented, and with this qana'at, he has yaqeen upon akhirat. If I don't get it here, it's short-lived, I will get it in akhirat. Allah will give me. That keeps him happy. You'll see the prophets there, you'll see the harvest there, the fruits there. And the example of ulama, the mufassirin give, is like a farmer. A farmer, for him to see the harvest, what toil he undertakes to till that land. And he has no guarantee he's going to see the crops. Because the weather not in his hands. But he goes through all the difficulty, all the toil, that massive farm of his. He's going to till the soil, put the fertilizer, take care of the ground, see that fertilizer of good quality. Then the seeds, whether it's the correct type, how's the quality of the seed, what crop he wants. He's already got a figure in his mind, that what he's going to produce. So all of that, and then he plans everything. Now he says they're contented. Ya Allah, only you can make it happen. And then when the harvest comes, then he thanks Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But he had to go through the pain and the toil. Even an employee, a laborer working in a business also. First he didn't explain, commentators say, what doesn't he go through as a laborer? Sometimes humiliation also. Sometimes humiliation. The boss, the employer sometime will tell him something, he slipped up. But he'll go through the whole thing for the whole month. Why? He knows end of the month, I will be rewarded. A mu'min knows end of the day, Allah will reward me. I'll go through all this pain, whatever it may be. But ya Allah, I won't break your command. I will fulfill your command because I am aware that you are all aware of me. You know what is going through my heart right now? How difficult it is for me, but I'm contented, ya Allah. I am contented, ya Allah. Oh, they say, if you don't have the contentment, then even the millionaire will be parishan and restless because he wants to become a billionaire. Although he has everything, but then through the mind can't shut down. The mind can't shut down because it's still working. No contentment. So he loses his dunya also, pursuing it so hard, there's no time to really enjoy it, and akhirah truly will lose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shaheedun ala ma ta'amaloon. Coming back to the point, nafs mutma'inna. The nafs becomes itminan. The nafs becomes at peace with the command of Allah and the condition Allah ta'ala puts me through. Then Hazrat says upon this point, that as a person becomes more pious, temptations are even more there. Temptations are even more. But because he's become the beloved of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he can't save himself from haram. Allah saves him. Allah only becomes وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah said, I become a hail and a barrier between him and his own heart. Only I can save him, nobody else. Which man can save himself from temptation? No one. It's only the fazal of Allah. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلَ عَلَيْكُ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. It's only the fazal of Allah, the rahmat of Allah. Otherwise, no one can purify themselves. It's only the fazal of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. That is why the default mode of insan is كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّعُونَ. Every child of Adam is a sinner, and the best of the sinners are those that make tawbah. But sometimes we feel I'm a big buzruk. Now I made one to gunas, I fell down. I said, no, it's not for me this now. I can't become pious. Because thinking now you can't become pious because you thought you were pious. But if I regard myself to be a sinner, and only by the tawfiq of Allah I'm being allowed to become pious. Allah is holding my hand. He's allowing me right now. He opened the door. Allah, your fazal upon me. Shukr to you. Then I slip sometime. But shouldn't be that I close the door. Allah's door is still open. But I slip, I said, I went back to my haram. I close the door. No, the door is open. Make tawbah. The best of sinners are those that make tawbah. Make tawbah and get back there. But a person feels that I went so far. I was free of temptation and haram. And I reached a certain stage. I didn't reach it. Allah Ta'ala allowed me to get here. Now I slipped. Now what happens many times, he slips and he takes it so hard upon himself. That I don't think I can do this again now. I've slipped again and again and again. Why? He thinks he's moving on his own strength. So I can't do it again. No. I am by default a sinner, Allah allowed me. Gunagar like me, nakar, siyakar, black person like me, allowed to become pious, ya Allah, where can I? But you allowed me, you took me in the right environment, the right company, and ya Allah, you allowed me to become pious. Ya Allah, you keep me there. I make shukr to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is nafs mutma'inna. When the nafs becomes absolutely at peace, is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can save a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of all the actions you are doing. This is an address to the Jews and the Christians after hearing the clear proofs of truthfulness and accuracy. And after listening to such true and concrete speech of the Qur'an al-Kareem, what has happened to them? In spite of being called Ahl al-Kitab, the people of the book, they are adamant to refute the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the one who has brought it. That is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, all of their actions are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is completely aware. He knows well the intentions and their plans. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes them, He will take reckoning of every minute detail. So a mu'min, remember, the Islam will ya'lu wa la yu'la. Islam will always be above, will never be overpowered. Although in the world it might see the Muslims, yes, they will have a difficult life possibly. Like in Gaza right now, whether in Kashmir, whether in China, whether in Sudan. Islam will always be on the rise. It's impossible for Islam to be under any religion. Yes, they're Muslims. They will go through halat and conditions. But Islam will always be on the rise. The second meaning of shaheed means a witness who testifies to the truthfulness of the claimant in a dispute. Shaheed means a witness who testifies to the truthfulness of the claimant in a dispute. Somebody has a claim, then he brings a witness as his backup. In Surah Al-Imran, the following verse is mentioned: شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels and the people of knowledge testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maintaining His creation with justice. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most powerful, the all-wise. Here three testimonies are mentioned. One is the testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. The second is that of the angels. And the third testimony is that of the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's testimony is in a figurative sense. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being, His qualities and all His manifestations and creation are open signs of His oneness. Allah ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. Let's read a few lines from our kitab, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're discussing the kitab, evil glances and love affairs, and the harms and the cures. The last time we mentioned the most important prescription for self-reformation. The most important formula for reforming the self is punctuality and keeping the company, be punctual in the company of a pious sheikh. Listen to the bayan, the majlis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, because reforming the self and remaining steadfast on deen is generally very difficult, rather impossible. Zakim Sahib will say this, rahmatullah alayh, that muttaqi banna bahut mushkil hai. To become pious is very difficult. It's not easy. The entire environment is against us. Then he would say, to become pious is very difficult. Yes, to become pious on your own is difficult. Then he would say, find some Allah wala, some ashiq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and hold his hand. Then to become pious will not be easy, but it will become pleasurable. You will enjoy becoming pious now. Holy today, alhamdulillah, I did look at haram. I didn't think of haram, Ya Allah, Ya Fazl. How did that happen? So it'll become pleasurable, you'll enjoy it. Create a contact with a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with whom one has compatibility. Hazrat would say that the blood type agrees. In our language, that I gel with the person, I can talk to him. The most important thing when it comes to murid and sheikh, it has to be open communication. He must be able to communicate. One is listening to the bayan. And one is able to communicate with the sheikh. In that way, the person progresses very quickly. That is, make him your religious consultant. Describe your condition to him. Practice the cure he diagnoses and have trust in him. Please note that the zikr mentioned above is for a healthy person. Right? 100 times La ilaha illallah and 100 times Allah as you make the zikr. That's our daily ma'mulat. Quran tilawat, how much we can manage? 100 times La ilaha illallah, 100 times Allah. That dhikr now, that we do facing towards the qibla, sitting down, and is a way how to make the dhikr. The remaining adhkar, our third kalima, durood sharif, istighfar, that we can do walking, driving, etc. But these two dhikrs of la ilaha illallah and Allah, 100 times, that must be done with full concentration, with tabattal ilahi tabatila. The cutting yourself off completely from everything, and focusing completely upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that has to be done. And Hazrat would say also, this is the right and the haqq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that we take the name of Allah every day with love. We take the name of Allah with love every day. This is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this now, and yes, if a person cannot manage 100 times, then he consults once again. 100 times, I don't have the time, it's too difficult for me, I'm not accustomed to it. Then the Shaykh will give a new prescription. When you were students in madrasa also, that time Hazrat Sarad Rasul, only 10 times. Only 10 times, take your time. 2 minutes, 3 minutes only, your zikr must last you, because you're a talib ilm, you're a student of deen. Only 10 times, but put your heart into it. Then from 10 to 20, then to 50, then to 100. So slowly, slowly you begin to progress till you feel that I can't do without this. But today I didn't make zikr, I'm not feeling right. Even I just sit in the car before entering the house, take out my shoes, cross my legs, and let me just make 20 times, La ilaha illallah, Allah. I didn't make it today, now I just got 2 minutes. Let me sit in the car, make my zikr. I'm not feeling right now. I didn't take the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If a person is ill or weak, he should decrease the amount of dhikr with the consultation of the mentor, with his sheikh. Remember that this method mentioned above will not be beneficial without consulting his spiritual mentor, that is the sheikh. Accordingly, it is essential to maintain a contact with the sheikh by being in his company or by correspondence and inform him of your condition. Continue following this advice. Then Hazrat says, meditating of the harms of evil glances. What's the evil of it? Why shouldn't I do it? Like how you mentioned before. Why should I do this amal? What are the fada'il? What are the rewards? If I don't do it, what am I going to lose out? Keep on pondering over the harms of evil glances. It is such a devastating illness that many people who are afflicted by it died in a state of disbelief, or kufr. Hazrat gives incident of a muazzin for 40 years gave azan. For 40 years he gave azan. And that time, this will give azan from above the minaret. This will climb the minaret. 40 years he gave azan. And finally he fell ill. They rushed him to hospital. And he went into Sakarat, last moments of his life. Then he just woke up. And then he says, bring the Quran, bring the Quran. So they were very happy. Brought the Quran Sharif. He put his hand on the Qur'an. These are fairy tales, my dear brothers. He put his hand on the Qur'an Sharif. And he says, I want you to be witness. I disbelieve in this book. I disbelieve in this book. And I die as a Christian. 40 years azan he gave, calling the name of Allah. Who got guarantee? 40 years saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. So I disbelieve whatever is in this book. Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahimullah will say, when we hear these warnings or stories, over here was that last person going into Jannat, or the first person going into the fire of Jahannam, what do we think? Somebody else, somebody before Qiyamah, not me. He says, no, but think it's me. Yalla, you save me. It shouldn't be me, that I be that person. But I never think it's myself, I think it's somebody else. Because I think now I'm already going to Jannat. And when they investigated what happened, they went to the local alim and started investigating. Whole life gave azan, 40 years, calling out the name of Allah 5 times a day. And here he leaves the world disbelieving in Quran Sharif. But then it became apparent that when he would climb the minaret to give the azan, then in the neighboring yard, there were young girls that used to sit there, used to peep at them. Evil glances. He should peep at them during his azan also and in between, and he should take that haram enjoyment. That was the asahmul masmoom, the poisonous arrow of shaitan. The poisonous arrow of shaitan pierced deep into his heart. And when he came finally for the pure kalima to come out, the poison was too deep. So how can I have confidence that I'm going to die with iman? So evil glances is one of those things Hazrat says that it will lead to disbelief and kufr also. Just the eyes only. And now it's become nothing serious. We're working with female staff and females around us, so we don't feel anything really, because the iman is gone so weak. We're chatting them up, we're looking at them direct in the face. Direct in the face, you're talking to them. Sometimes we call them sweet names that you don't call the wife also. But the poison is going into the heart. And then when it comes to the time of maut, the final moment of life, when the iman or kufr And now it'll, how I will fare? Just because of this one evil thing. If you just get this one thing right, my dear brothers, just the glances only. Then Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, oh, the limbs will be safe. The limbs will be safe. Taqwa will come into a person's heart. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. As I would say, with the zikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is like a super vacuum. That all this poison of the heart through La ilaha illallah, we're putting out all the filth and the dirt, and the deep, deep poison. What can be more powerful than the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? The name of Allah should pierce the heart and remove all the filth and the dirt. By saying La ilaha, there's no one worthy of worship. As Hakim Sahib will say, there is siwa hamara koi nahi. Allah, besides you, there's no one for me. Hamara koi nahi, hamara koi sahara nahi. Allah, there's no support in life. Illallah, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say La ilaha illallah, we just picture in our heart, in our mind, Allah, this filthy habit of mine is blocking my connection, Ya Allah, to the power of your name and the majesty of your name, Ya Allah, which is the greatest in the entire universe, Ya Allah. Just, Ya Allah, bomb it, Ya Allah, take it out, remove it from the roots, that I don't go back to the filth and the dirt. Definitely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the barakat of His name, is that Allah will remove the filth of the heart. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu ta'ala sha'nu. Allah, 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 Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah, 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 Jalla Jalalu. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم. إنك أنت الله الأعز الأكرم. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رحيم يا كريم يا الله forgive us all our sins O my Allah the sins of the eyes O my Allah the sins of the ears the sins of the tongue the sins of all our faculties and our limbs O Kareem Rahim Allah purify our hearts and our minds our tongues O my Allah Keep us in your dhikr, in your consciousness, O Allah. Save us from sins, from your disobedience. Ya Allah, keep us upon hidayat, O my Allah. Open our hearts, O Kareem, Rahim, Allah. Save us from a fake life. Give us a real life, the life of Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala, anhum. O my Kareem, Rahim, Allah. Give us your dard dil and the pain of your muhabbat and your love and the true love for Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Kareem, Rahim, Allah. Give us hidayat, O my Allah. Keep us safe, give us al-afiyat, salamat. All those sick and ailing, Ya Allah, grant them shifa, ajil, kamil, mustamir. All those in debt, O my Allah, remove the debt, O my Allah, crush the debt, O my Allah, grant them barakah. Ya Allah, save us from haram, O my Allah, grant us plenty of halal, O Kareem, Rahim, Allah. Keep us with iman, take us with iman. In a condition, you are happy with us, O Kareem, Rahim, Allah. Ya Allah, protect the ummah of Nabi Akram, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give hidayah to the ummah, O my Allah. Show your rahmat upon them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, connect the ummah to you, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers, our families in Gaza, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, send the malaika to assist them, O my Allah. Send your help for them, O my Allah. Grant them victory over the enemy, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, protect the Muslim ummah, protect the iman of the ummah. Spread the winds of hidayah, O my Allah. Blow the winds of hidayah, O my Allah. Ya Allah, accept the qurbani, O my Allah. Make it a means of hidayah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from sins, from israf and israf, O my Allah, from wasting our lives. Ya Allah, give us pain for the ummah in our hearts, O Kareem Rahim Allah. O my Allah, make it easy for them, relieve them, O my Allah. Remove the hand of the zalim, O my Allah. Ya Allah, free Masjid al-Aqsa from their hands, O my Allah. Give it back to the Muslim ummah. O my Allah, make Islam the Muslim countries, O my Allah. Reform them, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Restore the Khilafat, O my Allah. Ya Allah, let Islam reveal once again in the world, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Protect the Muslims around the world. Protect the iman, the amal, the taqwa. Ya Allah, the properties, the families, the children, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Protect us from all sides, O my Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in your rahmat and your barakat and your hifazat and izzat, O my Allah, with iman and taqwa. Ya Allah, take us from this world in the condition you are happy with us, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Keep us with good health and afiyat. Ya Allah, our Shaykh and all our satiza and all our mashayikh and our parents. Ya Allah, grant them good health, afiyat, sihat and salamat. Ya Allah, they left this world full of qabar and nur, make them maghfirat. Ya Allah, we thank you for all your ni'mas and your bounties, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you give us iman, you give us Islam. Ya Allah, you save us from, Ya Allah, putting our head down to anyone besides you, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, these heads belong to you, these hearts belong to you. Ya Allah, these bodies belong to you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, accept it and use it for the khidmat of deen, O my Allah. Ya Allah, make our dunya easy. Make our fikr akhirat, O my Allah. Keep us, Ya Allah, give us a consciousness and awareness of you every single moment of our life, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين آمين. Also there's a request, my dear brothers, you know what is happening in the ummah right now. Tonight is a request from the people of Gaza and around the world Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to wake up early part of the morning, 2 rakat salah, some dua, some sadqa, and cry for the ummah. Take out 2 minutes, just two minutes. We can do something for the ummah, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. And just a reminder, we mentioned before also, when it comes to after the program, is it sunnah to make mu'alaqa and to make musafaha all the time? The brothers that are tired, they can leave also. They don't have to wait in the queue to make salam. Is that necessary? Out of muhabbat, yes, no problem. Those that are tired, they can leave also. They don't have to always hug one another. It's a sunnah. Usually the sunnah is after a long time we meet then, definitely. So musafaha is sufficient. That is a sunnah fulfilled. But those who want to leave also, is no disrespect. Alhamdulillah. We are meeting most of the time. The brothers are tired. They can leave also. No problem, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accepts. SubhanAllah. Bihamdulillah. SubhanAllah.